into the house of the Lord. And we are delighted that you are here this day, that you have chosen to come. And if you are here and you are a visitor with us, we are honored and delighted that you have found your way to this very special place in Deep River, North Carolina. And we'd like to ask you to fill out a guest card you'll find in the pew in front of you and drop that in the offering plate when we collect our offering. We'll take care of the offering. You just drop your visitor's card with us, and we will be grateful for that. We are delighted to have our youth that will be sharing with us tonight at 6 o'clock, and also our Whitley City mission team. So we have two teams that went on two different mission trips that will be sharing tonight at 6 o'clock. And if you haven't wished Miss Odessa a happy birthday, you need to, because today's her birthday. And we're going to celebrate with her a little bit after the meeting tonight. So there will be some stuff you might want to stay around for after that's over a little bit. And we're looking forward to that as well. I hope you'll look at the other announcements that are in your bulletin. Again, that was 6 o'clock this evening in our fellowship hall. And note there are other things we need to be doing. And this Thursday we have, not in our bulletin, but we do have a teachers' meeting, Sunday school workers' meeting, at 7 o'clock in our fellowship hall. So all of our Sunday school teachers, if you would note that and plan to be here as we kind of look at, we're going to try to keep these meetings going to try to keep an emphasis on our Sunday school and keep it moving in the right directions. As you look at the bulletin, you will see there are other things going on, lots of other things going on. We hope that you'll be involved in all of those where you see you can plug in. And I note that this coming Saturday is our children's fun day, our water day. That'll be a good experience. I know you'll want to plan on that 5:30. And then hopefully you've already marked your calendar for the singing that we're going to have. The fifth Sunday night singing, we'll be sharing July 31st. And we have a special group going to be coming and bringing the music for us. We're looking forward to that. The Back Porch Gospel Band will be presenting for us. And then after that, we're good Baptists. We're going to have stuff to eat. We're going to have ice cream if you bring it, and other desserts as you bring them. And we certainly are looking forward to that time as well. And then just way down the road, remember all the folks that are in FSYC, you'll be giving. That's a neat opportunity. I see a lot of those on Facebook, but we'll be singing, the FSYC will be singing the national anthem at the Durham Bulls game. You'll see that there's some word about that in the bulletin as well. Are there any other announcements that need to come before us? How many of us know what's going to happen August the 3rd? Nobody? Well, maybe the Olympics aren't what they used to be, which could hurt this sermon, because if you've noticed, part of it is going to be doing the spiritual Olympics today. And I see the Gorntos. Is Braden here today? Braden's first Sunday back at church. How about that? I saw y'all. I mean, it registered with me. That's exciting. We're grateful that that the family is back, and that's good. What was I saying? Oh, the Olympics. There you go. I remember now. You know, we live in strange times, don't we? Scary times. Our hearts are hurting for the folks in Nice as, again, disaster has struck. And we know that's just going to continue. We know that the Republicans will be meeting and this week. And the security is probably as tough as it's ever been. And I can't imagine what they're doing for the Olympics, trying to prepare in these times. As we pray as God's people, as we come together to worship, I want to tell you, I am totally convinced. I'm excited, I'm so convinced, that God is still the God of this world. And He still has all of it in His hands. And so as we look today at I hope what might be a challenge for us to walk more humbly with our God and more closely with our God. I'm excited to know whatever may befall us, we are in His hands. And because of that, He deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. So now as our instruments play and as our choir will come in, would you take just a couple of moments to kind of clear your mind? Get those things that might distract you that Satan will place in your ears. And tune in to hear what God might say in the music, in the praying. As you sing the hymns, don't let those words just be words. Let that be a message from your heart to God's heart. As we sing praises, as we lift His name above every name. As our instruments play, would you prepare yourself to worship the living God? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are visible. Would you pray with me? Lord, faith, the essence, the very air our soul breathes. We come before You, praying that as we worship You today, that we might indeed strengthen our faith, that we may walk more closely with You as You perfect our faith, and strengthen us as we consider You. In Christ's name, amen.
One of the great promises of the Bible, Christ receiveth sinful men. 563, let's stand and sing, please.
Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, be with the ones that are on our prayer list. Be with the ones not on our prayer list, Lord, that need your help, our brothers and sisters in France and throughout the world. Lord, be with us and never let us forget that it is through you and you alone that we receive our salvation. Bless this offering and use it for your glory. Forgive us our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. How's everyone? Good? It's good to see y'all. So, I have a question. Who can tell me what this is? It's a metal. What kind of metal? What color is it?
Gold.
Gold, right. So, how do you get a gold medal? What do you think? You gotta win, right? To win, you got to be the best at whatever you're doing, right? So if you're running a race, you got to be the fastest one out there, right? Is it easy to do that? Is it easy to be the best and beat everyone else and get that medal? You think so? I think you could do it. I think it might be a little tough, though. You got to put in a lot of practice, a lot of work. You got to know what you want. If you want to win, you got to have that goal, the thing that you're running after. Why are you going to run fast if you don't have a reason to do it, right? So, you got to know what you're getting and what you're going for. But in order to do that, you can't be distracted, right? Sometimes we get things in the way that maybe will distract us. Like what would make us not win a race?
Not paying attention.
Not paying attention, right. If we weren't paying attention, then everyone else would just pass us and we would be left behind. What if there was like something in your way on the ground and you had to like trip over it or jump over it? That might slow you down too, right? Or what about if you had a really, really heavy pack on and you had to carry that? Would you be able to run fast if you had were weighed down? No, you wouldn't. That'd be hard. Right, cheaters don't win, so we don't want to do that. You got to do it correctly. You got to do it right. So all this stuff can get in the way from us winning and from what we're heading after, right? So it talks about racing in the Bible. Did y'all know that? You did? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it does. It talks about it. So I'm going to read a little bit about that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 and 25, okay? So, listen to what it says. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So, there's a race. Does everyone get to win?
No.
No. Only one person, right? And the Bible just told us we need to run to win. So what kind of race would that be talking about in the Bible? It's talking about that, but it's comparing that to running after Jesus, right? Does that make sense? You want to run after Jesus, and you don't want to get distracted by people who maybe will pull you away from Jesus. That would slow you down, right? And you don't want to let obstacles get in the way or sin to weigh you down. You want to give all that to Jesus, and you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and that's what your end prize is. Yeah. So getting a medal like this is pretty cool. It's pretty, but it's not going to last forever. So you might get this, and you'll be happy, but is it going to last? No. But the prize that we get from running after Jesus and running the race for him, we get eternal life, and that lasts forever, which is really, really awesome. And we all have the chance to do that. So every single day, we can run after Jesus and see, keep our eyes focused on him so that we don't get pulled away from him. Do y'all think we can do that? I think so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for waking us up and bringing us here. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and help us to run after you every single day, knowing that our prize with you is forever. We love you a lot. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boys, thanks, and girls, God. You know where she got that gold medal? She's not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. She won that gold medal in the state games in North Carolina in 2001 for gymnastics. So she not only knows how to work hard to serve the board, she knows how to work hard to achieve sport goals, too. That's pretty cool. Isn't it? I'm done.
It was so beautiful to see that stream of children walking down the aisle this morning, and I thank you parents for being here and showing them the correct example. Did any of y'all notice what Gail and Gina played for the offertory? Somebody tell me the name of that tune. Share His Love. It's on page 567. We're not going to sing it, but the chorus of it is share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. You don't have to go out and preach a sermon to people. You just got to share the love of God. And they catch it as much as they listen to it. 553, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. 553, let's stand and sing, please.
I forgot to mention that our children's council is going to meet immediately following the worship this morning over in the fellowship hall. We invite you to open your bulletins to the prayer concerns, and I've got two names I'd like to add to that list. Jack Riddle has just this morning been admitted to Central Carolina Hospital. We want to keep Jack in our prayers. He's having some great discomfort. They're finding the possibility of pancreatitis and some gallbladder issues. We want to remember him. And also, Jamie Beauvais is at Moore Regional Hospital, has been since yesterday. We want to keep Jamie lifted up in our prayers. Many of these names we need to continue to constantly keep before the Lord. You'll see them, many of those highlighted both on the ongoing and in the left side are new or folks we're just adding back, and ask that you would remember them in a very special way. We certainly want to remember our world and the violence that is all around us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do pray for those that were so awfully impacted by the tragedy that occurred in Nice, and ask your blessing to be upon the survivors and the families of those who lost loved ones. We continue to pray, Lord, for families that have been impacted by violence. We think of Dallas. We think of Orlando. We are aware of the troublesome times. And we are aware that each day we gather here in this place of peace and in the freedom that this nation affords, that there are wars and there are rumors of war. There will be people who will die at the hands of violence and war before this prayer has been completed. And in the midst of that confusing time, still we pray. We pray as an exercise of our faith and as a reality that our hope is in you. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are on this prayer list that are dealing with illness, that are dealing with the struggles of life in various and different ways. And we ask your blessing to be upon each. As Mark said, those on this list and those not on this list that are on our hearts. And we lift them to your care. And we ask, O God, that you might bless us now, that we might, for just a very few moments, God, honestly examine what you might say to us. Help us to make those adjustments where we need to adjust. Help us to become stronger in those areas where we're serving you correctly. And God, grant us your peace that passes our understanding as we live in a violent world. Go with us now. Help us to tell others what you can do to share your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. I love that metaphor. If every man was a scribe, if we all had quills and the ocean was our ink, and the scroll was from sky to sky. What a beautiful image. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I saw a headline, I think it was on Facebook, under the caption, "He only had one job and he didn't do it right." Apparently there was a pitcher that had made his way to the major leagues. He could throw with either hand. And the headlines read, "Amphibious pitcher makes it ambidextrous." It's going to be a long morning, isn't it? I thought of that because now I'd like to invite you with either hand to take your hymn book and open to page 572. I love to tell the story and mark that there. That will be our hymn of commitment, our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our worship today. I read, as we began worship, from Hebrews chapter 11. You know Hebrews chapter 11. It is sometimes referred to as the hall of fame of faith. And all the greats in the Old Testament are listed in chapter 11. Many you know, some probably you don't know. But in the midst of that, the writer of Hebrews, who is speaking to a church that is considering apostasy. Do you know that word, apostasy? They were considering, because the Jews were not being persecuted as strongly as the Christians were by the Roman government at this particular moment when we think Hebrews might have been composed. And some were saying, maybe we'll just go back to being Jews. We'll give up on this new way. And so the writer of Hebrews will often say, finish the course. He uses a lot of athletic references, metaphors, and we're going to read one today. But he says it's important to run the race, but it's more important to finish the course. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read the first three verses. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Therefore, back to referring to what he's just said in chapter 11, all the saints, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, for just a moment this morning, would you speak to us clearly, that we might give you permission to perfect our faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. anybody awaken today saying, the most important thing I want to do today is to make a difference in someone else's life? Did any of us wake today and say, I want to live a life today that people will remember me in a very positive way in years to come, in decades to come? Maybe I could ask it this way. How are we doing with our walk with God? Are we training well? You know, the Olympics are just 3 weeks away. Remember August the 3rd? 3 weeks away, and most of us will at least tune in for some of it. Maybe you have a special event that you like more than any other. Some will watch it all. How is our spiritual race going? How's our training? Now, I am hoping that those Olympic athletes who will represent our nation, and even on my worst days, I seem to still want to know what the medal count is. Or maybe I'm being very confessional here. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't watch them as much. But I still like to know how many gold medals. And I'm always interested, did we win more than Russia or China? I don't know, but that's just what I'm interested in. Maybe you can think of some great Olympic athletes from the past that you remember watching with amazement. Some of you who are at least of my age maybe remember in the 70s when our hockey team won the gold medal over the Russians. Tremendous upset. Maybe the most important hockey game ever played, and I can promise you, with my limited hockey fanness, most significant to me. Our text begins with a statement. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't believe that those in heaven are peering down watching us. I can't think you'd really be in heaven if they were doing that. That'd be depressing. And I don't believe there's any depression in heaven. But I do believe we look back at them. We look back to see those folks who influenced us. We're coming up on 111 years as a congregation. And there have been people who have blessed our lives. I've asked two folks today, this would be a good time to cut the mic on, to share some memories of folks from their life and from this church who influenced them. Sarah, we're going to start with you, and then Tom immediately follows.
Such an influence in my spiritual life. Naturally, the first thing that came out of my mouth, Emma Cotton and Lois Kelly, was my grandmother, Flora Kelly. And this woman, she was a virtuous woman. She was one of the best examples that you could ever have in your life. And we were fortunate enough to be able to live close by. And when Gary said something about just speaking for a few minutes, Robert, my husband, asked me, he said, can you keep it to a few minutes? I could go on and on about my grandmother. She had this little saying that she taught us. She had taken Bible courses, and she had gotten a diploma. And she was awarded this diploma in 1915. So for the young people, that was 101 years ago. And she always had these little sayings, and naturally, as children, we are human. And we'd get to talking about somebody, and she'd always say, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything. And she always said, there is good in the worst and bad in the best. With the worst, you just have to look a little bit harder to find that good, but it's there. And she always had this little, it was like a loaf of bread. It was a plastic loaf bread. And she had verses that would sit inside of that. And we would take one out and we would quiz her. We just wanted to see how good she did know the Bible. She could tell you book, chapter, and verse. And then if we gave her the book, chapter, and verse, she could tell us the verse. She could recite the verse to us. And she had different things, but one of her favorite that I liked was, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Amen. And she lived by everything that she tried to teach us, but she was a wonderful person, and we were so blessed to have her in our life.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. When Gary asked me to do this, I could think of dozens of individuals, because this is my church. I was born here, raised here, and I was raised by a lot of mamas and daddies. But one person stands out in my mind. More than a person, it was a couple. But I'm going to talk about the person to start with. And that person was James Bridges. Most of the older people remember Mr. Jimmy. He very much impressed me. He did not wear his religion on his sleeve. He didn't go around like a lot of people, nothing wrong with it, quoting scripture, this, that, and the other. He lived his religion. He's one of the most dedicated individuals that I can remember, was James Bridges to Flat Springs. The door didn't open whether he and Mama Dixie were here. I can remember as a child, in the old white church, where we paid the preacher each Sunday. And there was one Sunday in particular, we didn't have enough offering to pay the preacher. But Mr. Jimmy was out front, letting it be known we needed a little bit more money. And it came up. He was a doer. Some people talk about doing things, but Mr. Jimmy would do it. By that I mean, United budget in the church. He looked after the church finances for many years, helped this church through some struggling times and through some boom times, through building times. He was always there as chairman. Perpetual care fund of the cemetery, late 60s and early 70s. That was one of his pet projects. He has meant so much to me, in that he was like a second daddy, and Mama Dixie was a second mother. If I needed to be got on to, Mr. Jimmy didn't mind getting on me. Looking back on it, I appreciate that and deserve it. He has left a legacy that family has for us. I look out in the church today, I see children of them. I see grandchildren. I see great-grandchildren. What a legacy that they have left us, and I'm very thankful to be part of that family of God. I thank you.
Probably each of you have stood here, and probably while they are talking, and even now, and I hope it will, it'll begin to come to your mind, people, in the great cloud of witnesses that Flat Springs Baptist has. A little boy was sitting in church one day, and he was looking at the beautiful stained glass windows. And there were people, they had put caricatures that would represent the apostles. And so he asked his dad, he said, who are those people? And his dad's son said, son, that's Matthew, and that's St. Mark, and that's St. John. And over there, that's St. Peter. Oh, about 3 weeks later in Sunday school class, they were talking about saints. And the teacher asked, can anybody tell me what a saint is or who a saint might be? And immediately the little boy raised his hand. And he said, I know, teacher. I know. Those are the people the light shines through. That's a great definition, isn't it? Saints. Today we've heard of two. I'm grateful for an RA director, and I got to thinking, and of course I'm not as young as I used to be, because my RA director, I can't even remember his last name, from Chattanooga, Tennessee, I can see Chip. Boy Scout leaders, Tommy Perry and Rip Cooper. Music ministers that have been so instrumental to me in the past. So grateful for Jimmy with us now, but Roland Gass and Robert Earl Williford, Jerry Benson, Carl Tillman, and Leonard Harris. Special folks on search committees that helped me discern God's will. I think of Leonard Honeycutt and Raymond Arp and Ed Taylor and Bill Beam and Bobby Hurley. Members of the youth group that I grew up with, Aubrey and Alan, Jay and David, Wanda and Diane, Trish and Terry. School teachers. WMU leaders, Sunday school teachers, I can go all the way back to Sunbeam leaders. What does your cloud look like today? I want us to think. I remember years ago, and I couldn't find the picture. I was a little disappointed. It was my first trip out to Albion, Nebraska, to go out there on a pheasant adventure. And we were probably 10 miles away from Albion and out in areas where cornfields go forever. And we came to where one of the roads were all in squares. They all went north and south, east and west. And they would make those real sharp intersections. They'd put the curves in the middle and they'd connect those roads north, south, east, and west. And way out in the middle of a cornfield was a set of cement steps with one iron rail still attached to the steps. What in the world is a set of steps doing out here? There wasn't another building within a mile any direction. And so I stopped the car, and I got out, and I noticed there was on top of those cement steps, there was a marker that had a granite face and an engraving. And I won't get the dates right because I couldn't find my picture that I took way before smartphones back then. Had to take it and get it developed kind of pictures. But there was the start of a little Methodist church. And there were the words. Founded in 18-something. Building built in 1940-something. Closed in 1962. And all that was there, in the middle of a cornfield, was a set of steps that children, like came down to this children's sermon, must have run up and down at one time. Couples must have walked down while folks were lined up outside throwing rice. Saints probably were carried from that building in their coffin to their resting grounds. What kind of witness are we building? What kind of witness will we leave? He reminds us of clinging issues. He says things and sins. He puts them in two categories. Things and sins. Whatever might be clinging around you, he says, make sure that if God is to perfect your faith, that you must first Get rid of those weights, he calls them, that cling so closely. I wonder what weights we might be bringing, what clinging issues might be around us today. You see, in ancient times, runners would enter into the race, and if they were noted runners, and it was a big race, and that was a big thing in that day. Races were really, really big, not unlike our Olympics. And they would have sponsors, people who would sponsor them. I don't think they had advertisers. But they had sponsors, some of the wealthy, some of the more elite families. And they would buy these elaborate robes. They might stretch behind them for like a wedding dress. And they would have the beautiful, they would bring the pigment in from all over to decorate those robes. The only thing I can come close is professional wrestling back in the day. Any of y'all remember that? And they would come wearing those long flowing, and they would come to the applause. Folks would recognize them. Sometimes maybe by their robe, they would recognize them. And sometimes stadiums would be filled with thousands of people to watch them run the race. But they didn't run the race in the robes. They didn't run the race in the robes, just like the wrestlers didn't wrestle in the robes. I guess unless they got caught outside the ring on the way in, but that's another story. You see, the beautiful, ornate robe that might identify them, it would only hold them back when they got to running. They wore very little when they ran the race. Paul understood that, how silly it would be for someone to try to run a race with something clinging. And so today, what's clinging to us? Are we today with the weight of confusion? The weight of our changing culture? The weight of change? The weight of our commitment? The weight of our compassion. What's clinging to our institution we call the church? Beside my house, y'all planted Iliagnus. And I thank you for doing it. Tony said he was against it. And I know why. And I want to tell you, I spent many an hour battling. I prayed for that Iliagnus. I won't tell you how I prayed, but I prayed for it. I've hurt myself on it. I've gotten poison ivy out of that Iliagnus. But I began to see something. I hope there's a lesson for us today in what I'm fixing to tell you. I noticed about 4 years ago, and I don't know why just 4 years ago, but I began to see in kind of the center of my Iliagnus, right next to my house, I got a handful of grapes. I mean, I thought, grapes, these are cool. They were good. They were sweet. They were the green kind. I don't know what kind they are. They're green. They're green grapes. They got seeds in them. Boy, if they'd have been seedless, this story would go a whole different way. But they got seeds in them. And I've got some black ones in the back. I'm not going to talk about them. That'll be another sermon another day. Well, then 3 years ago, I noticed I had a bunch of grapes. And it was a wider area. And then a little later on, I noticed I had even more. And this year, I noticed that my grapevine had spread to about 35, 40 feet. In fact, when I looked outside, I thought, well, where did the Iliagnus go? Because I don't see the little narrow leaves of the Iliagnus. I just see the broad leaves of the grapevine. Grapes are good. But in that moment, listen, in that moment, the reason we planted that Iliagnus is because just immediately, and when I say immediately, I mean immediately, on the other side of that Iliagnus is Cedar Lake Road from my house. And when We have a dry spell, if y'all can ever remember having a dry spell. It's a gravel road. And when folks drive up and down, and a lot of folks live back down in that area, when they drive down that road, it isn't a cloud of witnesses that comes from that road, but it's a cloud. And it just covers the whole everything on that side of my house. And the Iliagnus was planted to block it, to stop it, and it does a fairly good job. But what I noticed was that the grapes were killing the Iliagnus. Why do I tell you that silly story? Let me tell you another one that might remind you. The next time you go to Pittsburgh on Highway 15501, when you get past the circle and before you get to the new Lowe's, notice just maybe a mile before you get there on your left as you're going toward Chapel Hill. There's an old church building. And they're vines. I don't know if they're grapes, probably not. But they're growing. You can't get in the door now because the vines have grown. The writer of Hebrews says, throw off those things that cling to you that will pull you down, that will cause you not to run the race. You see, I'm convinced that the church needs to run the race as never before. Good things can kill the church. I need to say that again. Good things, like grapes, can choke out the source of our structure, the church, if we're not careful. He also mentioned sin, didn't he? Imagine that this afternoon when you're home, maybe enjoying a piece of cake and watching TV, that you receive a message. Someone's knocking at your door, and it's a member of the Olympic Committee from the United States of America. And they walk in your door and they say, good news, good news. We've chosen you to run the marathon this year at Rio in the Olympics. Good news. You're going to run it for us. Now, I want you to think for a moment. How many thousands of people are going to be watching you run the marathon? Isn't that exciting? I mean, you're going to, opening ceremony. You're going to be there. Maybe you're going to get to carry the flag. And there are going to be millions of people watching and cheering for you, because you're going to run the marathon for us. What are you looking at me like that for? You got 3 weeks to get ready. You can do this. How do we run the race that's set before us? I get tired driving a marathon, you know. But how about living on Zion Church Road or Deep River? I got up this morning and I took a stroll. And just before I got to the church, there was a syringe somebody thrown out a window. And when I got to the church, there was a beer bottle right in front of our sign. It may still be there. I started to pick it up and I thought, well, somebody sees me walking down the street with that. It'll be on. I left it alone. But that's the world we live in. Who do you know today that's in quiet desperation? You know them. Maybe you've already prayed for them today, but before you leave, let's pray for them. But you know, thinking about opening ceremony, I could get to Rio. I could probably walk pretty good in that parade when they walk around. They could make 25 laps. I'd be right there with them. But run a marathon? I'm not ready for that. Brothers and sisters, if all I do is come to church and wear the robe, I'm not ready to run the race, am I? The last point he gives us this morning is consider him. He says, Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. The founder and the perfecter of our faith. We all know what that means, to be founded, right? That when we walk down the aisle, just like Bailey did not long ago, and said that she believed Christ as her Lord and Savior, that's the founding of your faith. That's great. Probably everybody, most everybody here has done it. If you hadn't done it, you need to do it. I can talk to you about that and like to. But how about that perfecting of our faith? How about that part? Is our faith growing? Is it strong? Is there outward evidence to others that we love the Lord? Could folks stand and say of us is what those two, Sarah and Tom, said of their great cloud? Are we running the race that shows others that he's working on us? We may not do as well today, but we'll do better tomorrow. And just wait till next week. And you won't imagine what's going to happen in a month and in a year and in 5 years, if God grants us life, what we'll be doing as he continues to work on us. I love that song that says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. But oh, how special I must be. You know why? Because he's still working on me. Is he still working on you? Is he still perfecting your faith? Verse 3 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility as the cross. And don't grow weary. Don't grow weary or become faint-hearted. The more we consider God, the more he'll perfect our faith. The more we consider God, the more he'll perfect our faith. And the opposite's true. The less we consider God, the more we allow the grapes of this life to grow around our foundation of our faith in God, they, like my grapes on my Iliagnus, will choke us out and put something good, but not best. Is Christ still perfecting us? We leave this place to run the race of life. May God remind us of the great cloud of witnesses, help us deal with the clinging issues in our life, and renew in us a right spirit to consider him every day, often, every day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, in just a moment, we're going to sing as part of our testimony, as a part of our witness, that we love to tell the story. Will be our theme and glory to tell the old, old story of your love. Would you speak to us now if there's someone who needs today to make some decision for you? Today would be the perfect day that you could continue the process of perfecting us as we come to you. In Christ's name, amen. Our page is 572 this morning. If God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, there's no better day than today as we stand together.
Oh.
remind our children leaders that you have a meeting in the fellowship hall. Y'all just want to stay till 6? Anybody got to go? Oh, okay. Well, y'all be back at 6, right? Come and hear what especially our youth. I'm excited. I've just been listening to some of the chatter on Facebook. I'm excited about what I think we're going to hear tonight. I hope that you'll come. And I know the folks from Whitley City have some things we want to share as well. So come for that, and we look forward to that very special time. Whenever you start doing what I'm about to do, you're going to mess up, but I'm going to take a chance. Ruth West, it's good to see you in worship today. I know, I think this is her first time back with us since having her surgery. We're excited to see her. And now, there's a race before us that we must run. And we will run. As Becca said, whether we get tripped up on the obstacles or whether we find a clear path and run with Christ is really what we need to decide before we leave. If we make that decision, then we will live in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might run the race with the rest of the human race. Heavenly Father, go with us from here. We don't know what lies ahead of us, but we know who holds our hand, and we will go with that assurance. In Christ's name.
Share Jesus' love.